Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to another episode of the Giant Take Podcast. It's another week, so that means we're going to switch it up. We came to you last time with free agency coverage, and we have a little bit of that in the beginning of this episode, but we're going right back to the NFL draft because that's what's coming up in a month. That's what we had a lot of content for before this little 1 to 2 week break, talking mainly about free agency, but we're right back where we started, Alex. We had that mainstream, that one big week when free agency begins, and what a week it was with the trades and the Giants now acquiring Darren Waller. It's really weird to say New York Giant Darren Waller. Same with Bobby Okereke and Paris Campbell and re-signing Darius Slayton. You know, I'm not going to say it's a brand new team, but they definitely made a few signings the Giants did, and obviously the big blockbuster trade. And you can't even say blockbuster because the Giants didn't give up that much for Waller. So the trade for Waller, I'll say, was a big deal. And now he's a New York Giant, and we're all living happy. So we're going to go back to the draft coverage, and you could tell by the title today, we have our first New York Giants 7-round mock draft, which is basically we go through all the New York Giants picks right now, at least, unless they trade for one or trade one away in this year's NFL draft. We did the same thing last year, and we go through, and we just do our own mock draft, and we pick players for it, and it's a very fun thing. Hopefully, we'll be able to do more leading up to the draft period. But for right now, we got the 1.0. Alex, how are you doing on this Monday late night episode of the Giant Take?
I'm doing well, man. I'm excited to get into it. Got a little bit of free agency news, some exciting news, something I can take a little bit of credit for, even though it's not quite done yet. So I'm excited about that. And then getting into this mock draft, which, we spent a lot of time on, obviously. And I think a lot of these guys are going to be some good scheme fits. And hopefully have some, reasoning behind why we pick them in each round. So I'm excited to get into that as well, but I'll let you get right into it with some free agency stuff.
Yeah, so the Giants had, I want to say it was 3 departures in free agency of former New York Giants.
So far.
Yes, so far. Former Giants safety now and captain of the team signed with the Seattle Seahawks, Julian Love. He departed from the team, and it seemed likely that he was going to depart since the beginning of the free agency window. We actually heard, I forget from who said it on Twitter, that Love and the Giants were actually talking to each other when the negotiations happened, or when like teams were able to talk with their own players before they left for free agency. The Giants actually had, I think, a more expensive offer on the table for Love. But he just didn't seem like the team was too appealed with him, didn't value him high enough for, I guess, Love's standards. And he wants to be that number one safety where it seemed like, I guess, McKinney on the Giants was that guy. So he just found that he had a better opportunity in Seattle, which is very valid for him. And congrats to him for getting that deal. It kind of sucks as a Giants fan, though, seeing him go, seeing a leader like that leave. But it is what it is. Oh, I got to turn off my notifications. And I'm happy that he'll, kind of get a place to shine now as a starting safety. However, what does this mean for the Giants? It means that either Jason Pinnock or more likely the case, Dane Belton is going to be your starting safety along with Xavier McKinney next season. And there's a possibility the Giants either sign an undrafted free agent or they go ahead in the draft and pick a safety. So that increases the odds of that happening. And that's Julian Love right there. Alex, do you have anything on Love before I move on?
Yeah, I mean, looking a little bit forward to the mock draft. Obviously, we did that after the Julian Love news. So we could have a addition because of that. I'm not going to spoil which round, but we'll get into that a little bit later. And I would say, Julian Love, we talked a little bit about it like right at the end of last episode when we were all rushing in. We just got the breaking news. But yeah, certainly sad to see him go. The safety market's kind of been crazy, really devalued, I guess, this season. We just saw C.J. Gardner-Johnson leave the Eagles, going to the Lions only on a one-year $8 million deal. Julian Love getting $6 million a year. So Micah Hyde, I think, just got or was it Jordan Poyer? Who's the one who is a free agent? I'll look it up in a second. But he got $5 million on a one-year deal as well. So all these elite safety guys not getting that much money. So Julian Love, for that price, getting $6 million a year is quite a bit considering the rest of the market. So, fair enough for him. Glad he got his money and, wish him the best of luck. And obviously he will be missed on the Giants. But I'd say a little bit kind of a replacement, maybe a future replacement here. I know this is not his position right now, but former Duke cornerback Leonard Johnson visited the Giants today and ended up signing a three-year UDFA rookie deal. Johnson tore his ACL in training leading up to the 2022 NFL draft, where he was projected to go in the late rounds. He's an intriguing press corner and probably a developmental prospect for the Giants. So that happened today. And there is some hints and some talk about him possibly being better suited as a safety at the NFL level because of his great tackling ability, his great instincts, but sometimes struggles with his, coverage technique, specifically in man coverage. So that's going to be something that's interesting. And maybe he could be a nice fit in the safety room as a guy who can develop at that position rather than corner. Does have the ideal size for it, too, at around 6 foot, just under 200 pounds as well. So certainly an interesting move. And I'm excited to see how, Dable and specifically Wink Martindale as the defensive coordinator can develop him and hopefully, make something of him in his NFL career.
A few other things that we can just run through right now. Big one, I guess. John Feliciano signed a one-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers, meaning there is no center on the Giants roster at this current point. They lost Nick Gates earlier in free agency to the Commanders. They have now lost Feliciano. No center on the Giants roster. What does that mean? They are drafting a center. There's no doubt in my mind that they're signing a center. Or signing one in free agency. They're drafting a center regardless.
I think so. Bredesen does have center flexibility. We do know that from his time at Michigan. So that would be interesting if they're planning to moving him back to that position as depth there, or they, who's going to start at left guard. Certainly on that interior, those two spots in the interior of the offensive line are going to be interesting going forward. And we do address that in our mock draft. So stay tuned. Look at me with all these plugs going forward.
Next thing on the list here, the Giants wide receivers. I just wanted to mention this. They're all locked up for basically 1 year besides Wandale Robinson. And yes, I know you want to say Darius Slayton's deal, which was like, I think, 2 years. That doesn't matter because the Giants, again, if they want to move on from Slayton, it wouldn't be too much against the cap to do so after a year. So just take that into consideration that if you have a guy like Darren Waller, who, again, if you cut him after next year, next season, that's not too bad with the cap. You have Sterling Shepard for another year. Slayton, where you can opt that after another year. Paris Campbell's deal is 1 year. So really, when you look at the Giants roster, the only wide receiver, contract-wise, that is basically staying with this team, also because he's young, he's Wandale Robinson. Again, meaning, just like they're drafting a center, I have no doubt in my mind that the Giants will, at some point in this year's draft, get a wide receiver. So I want you as Giants fans to keep that in mind. And then one more final thing I have here, and then Alex, you can respond to whatever you want to respond to if there's something you want to respond to in these last two. The Giants worked out defensive tackle A'shaun Robinson as he visited them. I don't know if they worked him out, actually. He visited the team on Monday when we're recording this Monday night. He's one of the best run defenders in the NFL. 38 tackles on design run plays through week 11 were tied for fourth among defensive linemen with Aaron Donald, actually, funny enough. He tore his meniscus in week 11, missed the rest of the season, but is on track for a full recovery this offseason. market may be too high for the Rams, which is the team that he played on, but they also like a higher comp pick because of that. And that's according to Big Blue View. All right, so Alex, anything on Robinson? I guess either Robinsons. Wano Robinson in the Giants wide receiver room or A'shaun Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, wide receiver room-wise, I think a couple of these guys, it's kind of a nice opportunity. A lot of guys on one-year deals. Who can prove it that they deserve to stay on this team long-term? And I think that's going to be a nice motivation for their next contract. And hopefully that should mean, better play from all of these guys and, more motivation for all of them as well. So that's just my little tidbit on them. On A'shaun Robinson, I would like to say I called it because he was one of those players that I was saying that the Giants should target and could target in free agency based on the scheme fit, based on the position of need, etc. And A'shaun Robinson, I'm surprised he hasn't been signed yet. One of the better defensive linemen in the NFL, honestly. And a lot of people are like, well, we have Leonard Williams already, and he's on a $32 million cap hit. We have Dexter Lawrence as well, obviously. We just signed Nacho. We have DJ Davidson from last year's draft. Are we really going to add another defensive lineman, or does this mean that Leonard Williams is gone? I think they're going to add another defensive lineman. This is one of the worst run defenses in the NFL last year, and A'shaun Robinson, he stops the run very well, and you need depth here because Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams, they were playing 90% plus of the snaps. They shouldn't have been doing that last year, and I think, as much as you'd want to restructure Leonard Williams' contract here to not have that cap hit at $32 million, there's no sense in cutting him and having $20 million in dead cap, and I don't think his trade value is really that great either, considering his cap hit currently. So you'd probably have to eat money if you wanted to trade him. So it just overall doesn't make sense. I think the most likely outcome here is if A'shaun Robinson signs, I would expect Leonard Williams to get some sort of extension / restructure to his contract. So I everyone's freaking out about that, but I think it's, you talk about, the Giants oftentimes with wing play three defensive linemen, and that could be, Leonard Williams, Nacho, and Dexter Lawrence, or it could be if A'shaun Robinson comes in, A'shaun Robinson, Lawrence on the bench, for a rest, a few snaps, Leonard Williams and Nacho, right? So there's a lot of flexibility here, and that's kind of more how I see it with the Robinson move. I'd be interested to see how much money he does get if he does sign with the Giants. I'd expect it to be somewhere around maybe $4 or $5 million on a one-year deal. I can't imagine it would be long term because I would assume Robinson wants to get back on the market, hopefully in a year that's more demanding for defensive linemen.
All right, we now move to our 1.0 New York Giants 7-round mock draft of this 2023 NFL draft. We did a few of these last season, but we're happy and we're ready to bring it back. So let's start out with, we're going right into it. Alex, it's weird because if you remember last year, we had 2 first-round picks, both of them next to each other. Practically next to each other, 5 and 7. We don't have that this year, but that's okay because we still have a pick in the first round. So we're going to start with that and we're going to go round 1, pick 25. What are the Giants' address? Is it offensive line? Is it center, cornerback, wide receiver? I think that's like the 3 positions, right, that we're looking at. Not linebacker anymore.
Keep an eye on defensive line. You could never rule it out.
That too. But we end up going cornerback here, and it's Deontay Banks out of Maryland. He's 6 foot, 197 pounds. He was one of the guys, I believe, that we talked about when we ranked our top cornerbacks in this year's draft class. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
He might have been an honorable mention type guy, but I certainly have him in my top 5.
So height comes in at 6 foot, 197 pounds. The pros that we have for him down or marked here is his athleticism. The recognition of different routes that wide receivers do, whether it's in the slot or the outside, as well as he's very good at press man, which is something that Wink Martindale runs with the New York Giants. So that's definitely something to keep your eyes and ears out for. When it comes to his cons, his ball skills, as well as his zone coverage too, I would say that the Giants, as we know, are blitz heavy. So you're not going to really worry about a zone coverage scheme when it comes to cornerbacks, I think, as much. However, he can tighten that up once he gets to the NFL. And I'm sure the Giants will definitely keep an eye out for Banks, as well as the other top cornerbacks in this draft. Alex, you did this draft. I don't know if you remember exactly. Were other cornerbacks taken off the board at that point that left you with Banks as your top player at that position?
Yeah, so I ran the mock, or I guess the simulator, a few times to make sure that it wasn't like a one-off type thing that he fell. in about, I think I did five different ones when I was trying to test them all out. He landed at the Giants 4 out of the 5 times. And he was pretty much the best corner on the board. Joey Porter Jr. was off. Gonzalez and Witherspoon were obviously off as well. And he was really the top corner on the board. Usually the top wide receivers, such as Jordan Addison, were off the board. Top center or top guards. Osiris Torrance was off the board in all of those mocks. So it just felt like corner was the best value here. And Deontay Banks, a guy who really rose with his combine, ran a 4.35 40, just blew all the drills out of the water. A really, really exciting press man, heavy man corner, which is what Wink Martindale wants. You can throw him on an island with one of the better receivers on the other team, and he can cover that guy. And he, you know, he doesn't have the best ball skills, that's for sure. But when he keeps up with his man, he's got great route recognition. It feels like he's always a move ahead. And overall, he's great size, great athleticism, a lot of upside as well with him. So I think overall, he's probably the third or fourth best corner, depending on how you look at it, with Joey Porter Jr. I do think he's better than Ringo. And that's why I chose him at pick 25. And I think the Giants, it just makes too much sense for the Giants to go corner at pick 25, especially when someone as talented as Banks is available. And I guess I'll move on here to pick 57 in round 2 here. We've got center John Michael Schmitz from Minnesota, 6'4", 306. This is obviously an interesting one because he actually fell surprisingly in about 3 out of the 5 mock drafts that I did. Into that late second round, and that is why I took him. A lot of people are saying he might not be there, but he was there, so I decided to take him. He's a great run blocker. He's got great football IQ, and overall, he's just a really, really solid mauler in the run game. His cons are that he tends to be a little bit shaky in pass protection. He's obviously only played center in college, which means you can't really move him around on the interior, and he is 24 years old. Which is, you know, pretty old, I guess, for a draft prospect, a rookie coming into the NFL. And we have him here at pick 57. Obviously, the Giants let go of John Feliciano, of Nick Gates. They need a center badly, and Schmitz just fits right in as your starter. And I think overall, he brings you a lot of, solid play from day one. And I think that's what the Giants really need in this draft. And that's why, you know, now we've addressed cornerback too. Which is a big need for the Giants, and center, which is another really big need for the Giants.
Yeah, I agree, Alex, to your points, and I want to say that if this happens in the actual draft, this could very well, this could very well be one of those what people call steals of the NFL draft for the New York Giants. This Mitch is able to fall all the way here to this, I guess, later part of the second round. Or not later part, early part of the second round, but just fall to this point in the second
round. Yeah, it is. It's late, right? Pick 50 said 25th pick in the second round, so pretty late.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, I guess late in the...
you were right the first time. Trust your instinct.
I'm used to picks 5 and 7, man, so it's early. Picking is early in the draft. It's not. We go to round 3 now, pick 89. I'm not used to the Giants being good, Alex. It's weird. Wide receiver Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati is 5'10". He's 177 pounds. We were wondering, when are the Giants going to address a wide receiver? Well, they do in round 3 right now, and it's a deep class, so it's something that you can wait on if they need to. Scott, some of his pros, his speed, his yards after catch ability, as well as his twitchiness on the football field. I'll let Alex kind of talk about that a little bit more when he breaks down Scott. When it comes to his cons, he's undersized. He also has a small catch radius, or at least he had one at Cincinnati. Again, another easy fix that you can kind of make when you switch to the NFL. This past season, he had almost 900 yards and 9 touchdowns for the Bearcats.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Scott, first of all, before I touch on the player specifically, I think this is the sweet spot for wide receiver. I feel like in round 1, you're probably not going to get the cream of the crop there at 25. I think Addison will be gone. Smith and Jigba might be gone. Johnston might be gone. Round 2, there's just kind of a big drop-off in between there. I feel like you could reach on a guy like Tyler Scott or on a guy like Kayshon Booty in round 2, for example. But I think here in round 3, where you got guys like Rashee Rice, Tyler Scott, Boudet, like I just mentioned, I think that's where the best value is for the wide receiver position. The reason I decided to go Scott, I believe Rashee Rice was still on the board, but I went with Scott because the Giants have actually had a visit with him at the combine or a talk or meeting, whatever you want to call it. There has been, I guess, suspicion that they are interested in Scott. They sent scouts to watch him a lot at Cincinnati. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And he fits exactly what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll like in receivers, guys who can separate, guys who have elite speed. Scott ran a 4.44 at the combine, a guy who can really make things happen after the catch, agility, you know, twitchiness, as I put down. You know, yes, they're undersized, but so was Wandale Robinson, and they did not hesitate to take him in the second round. And hopefully, you know, he could be an elite separator in the NFL level. And something that was very interesting for me is that he actually played 96% of the snaps of his snaps at Cincinnati on the outside, despite being only 5'10", 177. So I found that interesting as a guy that, you know, Shane said it in multiple press conferences, right? You don't need to be a tall, huge receiver to play on the outside. And I think Tyler Scott kind of proves that. And I think he could be a really interesting piece to add to the Giants offense. I could see him going a lot earlier than pick 89, though. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that look at him and see the potential with all this speed, the separation ability, and take a shot on him maybe as early as the second round.
You're up next.
All right, I'll move on. This guy was certainly interesting. I sat there in round four, and I was really, really confused. I was thinking, we need a running back. And some of the running backs that I was looking at that I was interested in were kind of off the board. And I felt myself in a little bit of a difficult situation. There was kind of some guys that I wasn't too familiar with. And I realized, hey, after a couple of these guys, the board really starts to dry out. There was kind of a big run on running backs in between the Scott pick and this pick at 128. So I did a little research and I came up to pick Dwayne McBride out of UAB. He is 5'10", 209. I really, really like this guy. He reminds me, he's your classic power back. A little bit of A.J. Dillon to him. Yes, he's only 5'10", but he's really, really powerful. He's got great strength. He really bounces off tackles. He's got great leg drive, gets those extra couple yards, which I really like. I think it's really important. Yes, he doesn't have the greatest long speed, which is certainly, you know, I guess, kind of frustrating. He didn't actually run at the combine. They kind of project him to run in the high 4.5, so certainly not a quick guy. And then receiving, didn't really do much of that at all at UAB. Only had 5 receptions his entire career at UAB, so that's something to think about. But as a pure runner with great vision as well, I think he's a guy who could really supplement Saquon Barkley well as kind of a 1-2 punch here out of the backfield, kind of bring a different dynamic to Barkley, a more, you know, I guess, downhill runner than Saquon Barkley is. And I think he could be a really, really good pick for the Giants here. So that's why I have McBride out of UAB.
Yeah, McBride ran 120 or more yards in 10 of his 11 games this past season in 2022. So definitely something to take note of there. Although a smaller school in UAB, so a little bit different. However, very good on the stat sheet for him. Round 5, pick 161. Now we go defensive tackle, Kobe Turner out of Wake Forest. 6'2", 288 pounds. A fierce tackler with a quick get-off. He's also forced a ton of fumbles, or not a ton, but a good amount of fumbles in his time at Wake Forest. His cons, though, he's undersized, and he's also inconsistent. So, Alex, I don't know if you want to break him down a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, Turner's an interesting one. A guy who is really, really a competitor. You could see the passion that he plays with just on his tape. But sometimes it seems almost like one play he'll look like the next coming of Aaron Donald, and then the next play he'll look like Justin Ellis, for any Giants fans out there who know who I'm talking about. But yeah, certainly an interesting guy, a guy who it seems like almost like some snaps is a completely different player. If he can at all snaps be his best self, then I think there's a lot of potential there. We know Joe Shane wants to beef up the defensive line. He took a round 5 defensive tackle last year. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it again here. And I think Kobe Turner at this point was pretty good value. A lot of people have him going in the 4th round, early 5th round, and here in the late 5th round, we have Kobe Turner. So I thought this was really good value for the Giants. So I was happy with this pick.
He's Alex. I don't mean to, I feel like you.
No, go ahead.
The next one. So a fifth-year senior, too. Actually spent most of his time, where basically 4 years of a normal college career, at Richmond. He then transferred to Wake Forest for his fifth year, where he ended up having his best year of his career, which is why he's eligible now and wants the draft opportunity and probably will get drafted late in this draft. Had a total of 38 tackles, 21 of them solo tackles, 2 pass deflections, 2 sacks, and 2 forced fumbles. Yeah. So now you can go to the next player.
Did actually a whole bunch of YouTube, when I was doing research on him, did actually a couple of videos, joined in for a couple of interviews with certain people on YouTube. So check those out. He's actually a really interesting, kind of funny guy. So would highly recommend that if you're interested in checking more out about him. But anyway, moving on to round 6, pick 208. We've got a tight end. Obviously, the Giants just brought in a huge tight end in Darren Waller. They have Daniel Bellinger. They brought back Lawrence Cager. But I thought, why not add to the fun and get a really, really good value pick here with Will Mallory out of Miami. 6'4", 239. He's got a quick release. He's really athletic. Ran in the low 4.5s at the combine. He's a great run blocker. He's pretty, you know, poor in pass protection. You see him get beat out in the few pass protection snaps that he does have. And for a guy who's 6'4", and 239, he does not have the contested catch ability that you would hope for. I think he's kind of similar to Daniel Bellinger in terms of what he's really good at, run blocking, and can be a threat in the receiving game. And I almost thought about this kind of interestingly. Lawrence Cager's kind of like a nice backup to Darren Waller in terms of similarities. And Will Mallory could be a nice backup to Daniel Bellinger in terms of other similarities in their games. So kind of an interesting pick there. At this point, you're kind of looking at best player available, and I thought Mallory was the best player available here at the very, or close to the end of the 6th round here. And then I did that again with the next pick.
Yeah, Mallory, another fifth-year senior, this guy out of Miami. Now, since his second year, his sophomore year, he's averaged 250 plus in receiving yards. I had 293 that year, and it's gone up from there. His best year, obviously, coming this past season with 42 receptions for 538 yards, about 13 yards per catch. And he ended the year with 3 touchdowns. 2 years prior to that, out of the 2020 and 2021 season, he had 4 touchdowns both of those years. So definitely something to note there. And who is the next guy we got on this list? Oh, yes. This is an interesting one maybe for a few of you, but the Giants do need either a backup or a third-string quarterback, as Davis Webb is now a coach. Round 6, pick 217, quarterback Stetson Bennett. Yes, the quarterback of Georgia. That is him. 5'11", 192 pounds, pros. This is leadership. Obviously, helped lead Georgia to a national championship. His accuracy as well as his experience. However, there is always cons with these guys. His arm strength is definitely a question mark. How deep can the guy throw? As well as his age. But he is younger than a guy named Tyrod Taylor, who is the Giants' backup right now.
Just barely.
Just? And so it's a matter of, do the Giants want a youngster here where they have a backup that's signed to a rookie deal that can be here for a few years? Stetson Bennett would be that guy. If he's still on the board, though, in the 6th round, I feel like that's really late. But I do understand that he's been dropping off significantly as time has continued on. So maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you get a rookie QB that could be your backup for 4 years, low-cost backup, a guy who's played in big games in college, has that experience. Yeah, may not have all the physical traits that you'd wish to have an elite quarterback, hence why he's still on the board in the 6th round. In all 5 of the mock drafts I did, he was on the board at this spot. And in one of them, he actually lasted to my 7th round pick at 241, the next one. So certainly a guy who's been falling. When you look at a lot of the mock drafts that have come out recently from all the experts, he's been sitting anywhere from the 5th to 7th round, even a couple of them going undrafted. So certainly interesting with Stetson Bennett. I'm actually reasonably, I guess, high on Stetson Bennett. I see him more, I believe in my grading, I had him as a 5th round or 4th round QB in terms of pure talent. So I think overall this is a great pick for the Giants. Tyrod Taylor's under contract for 1 more year. And then you have another backup for 3 more years after that under Daniel Jones, making very minimal money, obviously, being a late 6th round pick. So really, really like this pick for the Giants. and, you know, hope that they can make something like that happen. If not, I'd love to use one of these seventh round picks on a backup QB, you know, get them under contract for cheap for 4 years. Moving on to the seventh and final round, but it's really not a wrap yet for the Giants because they have 3 7th round picks. Pick 241, I am selecting linebacker Mohamed Diabate out of Utah. Almost fumbled the name right there. He's 6'3", 229. He's really quick off the edge. This guy's an interesting player because he was actually at he was at Florida for a number of years before transferring to Utah. And we see him in a variety of different, you know, packages. We see him sometimes rushing off the edge, sometimes as your traditional inside linebacker. Really a more really flexible guy. I think a guy who would have a lot of impact on special teams, which is kind of what you're looking at this point in the draft. And he's really quick off the edge. He's good in zone coverage when he's playing that inside linebacker position or when he's dropping off, you know, from the edge rusher position. He's got great lateral agility. And overall, he reads the game pretty well. His strength is certainly, you know, a concern. He's only 229 pounds, and he does struggle to slip blocks in the run game. So that's, I guess, somewhat concerning there. A player I do actually really like. His tape is pretty good, all things considering, for a guy who's still on the board here in the seventh round. So I thought I'd take him, and I think he brings some nice flexibility here for Wink Martindale's defense. And potentially on special teams as well.
Our second to last pick here, round 7, pick 244. We know that the Giants have lost Julian Love, and they're starting some youngster, or probably Dane Vellen at the position at safety. We need some depth there. We're going to get some here. Safety Tyreek Jones out of Boise State, 6'2", 195 pounds. His pros, his instinct, his speed, and his physicality in coverage. However, that does come with some cons. You do have to say it is the seventh round now, so I think all these players come with cons. If you want to talk about the less amount of cons, you would talk about that in rounds 1 through 3. Round 7, you're really getting into them a little bit. His route recognition, as well as his susceptibility a word? Can I use that?
Yes, it is a word.
In the plural form, right? Susceptibility to double moves is a con there.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was kind of looking for a safety. The safety board had really dried up. And I kind of felt like Jones was the best option. You see some upside with him just because of his physical traits, his speed. You do see that he's pretty instinctual in the run game. He's good size as well, 6'2". If he can bulk up a little bit, maybe just over 200 pounds, that would be more ideal for his position. And does have flexibility as well in the nickel, in, you know, slot corner as well. So overall, I think, you know, a pretty decent value here when you're getting really, really close to the end of the seventh round. And our final pick here, round 7, 253, two picks off from being Mr. Irrelevant. We've got edge Robert Beal Jr. out of Georgia. He's 6'4", 247. He is a senior, and I really, really like this pick. I would have picked him before Jones if I had actually noticed it properly before my last and final mock draft. I really like this guy. He's got a great spin move when you watch him off the edge. He's got great quickness. He's got pretty decent bend for a guy who's still on the board in round 7. The cons with him, he doesn't use his hands well at all, and he basically has no power rush. It's only finesse moves. He pretty much only has a spin move right now, but you can see the potential with Beal Jr. He played at a big school like Georgia where he did get, you know, significant snaps at times as well. And I think it's always good to take players in the late rounds from big schools. I always feel like that's a good idea. Not only do they bring a lot of times the physical attributes that originally got them there out of high school at some of these, you know, bigger name institutions, you also get just some experience, maybe higher quality coaching as well when you're looking at these later round guys. And they're always, I always feel like they're great special teams contributors as well. And I think Beal Jr. could be just that. And he is our last pick, 253. In the seventh round. That is all 10 picks in this mock draft. It feels like it was a eternity mock draft. But overall, I guess I'll recap it for everyone here. Round 1, pick 25, we had cornerback Deonte Banks out of Maryland. Round 2, pick 57, center John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota. Round 3, wide receiver Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati. That's pick 89. Round 4, pick 128, Dwayne McBride out of UAB, running back. Round 5, pick 161, defensive tackle Kobe Turner out of Wake Forest. Round 6, pick 208, tight end Will Mallory out of Miami. Round 6, pick 217, QB Stetson Bennett out of Georgia. Round 7, pick 241, Mohamed Diabate out of Utah. Round 7, pick 244, safety Tyreek Jones out of Boise State. And finally, but not least, round 7, pick 253, edge Robert Beal Jr. out of Georgia. Josh, before we finish this up, what's your favorite pick? And then I'll tell you what my favorite pick is.
It's going to be the same pick. John Michael Smith's at round 2, pick 57. And if it's not that, then I lied. And it's not the same. But I know it's the same because you're an offensive line guy. So it's going to be Smith. Am I wrong?
You are wrong, actually.
What?
I have a dual favorite pick here.
Oh,
I have two. Yes. I'm cheating.
Smith is one of them, though.
Neither of them are Schmitz. No, neither of them are Schmitz.
Really? Okay.
I really, really like the pick of Tyler Scott in the third round. I think that's really good value for him, and I can just imagine how Dable and Kafka could use him on offense. And then Robert Beal Jr., I'm telling you, I like that guy. I see potential there. So I'm going with him.
Anyway. Interesting. I really thought you were going offensive line, especially for the value, but okay.
I like the pick. I almost feel like he's not going to be there, though, but who knows?
We'll have to wait and see, but we'll definitely keep doing these, and we'll see if he's still there at round 2, pick 57, the next time in a couple weeks or so, if John Michael Schmitz will be there. That's the big question mark. And also Stetson Bennett in round 6. I feel like he'll come back up boards. But that's going to do it for our 2023 New York Giants 7-round mock draft 1.0 edition. All right, so that's going to do it for what I want to say, the nitty-grittiness of this episode of the Giant Take podcast. We covered all the points we needed to, and we did our mock draft, too, especially with the Giants news. That was a nice addition. I'm happy we were able to bring that back. So super great stuff here on this episode of the podcast. Right now, I'm going to do the social section, or what you can do to help us out, the interaction on your end. We just interacted to you for over a half hour, so how can you interact with us? Well, first of all, interact on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but hit that subscribe button so you can get notified every time we have a new episode. The next thing you can do after that is do even more interaction with a 5-star rating and or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Let us know what you think of the pod. Then even more interaction. We're going crazy with the interaction on social media. Twitter and TikTok, The Giant Take Pod. Instagram and Facebook, The Giant Take Podcast. Alex interacts with him personally on his Twitter, at Anoyan23. Me personally, at Joshua29. And go find more places to listen to the podcast on shippystudios.com/thegiant take. All of that info is going to be in the podcast notes down below, wherever you're listening. So we appreciate you listening to this point. And I hate doing this, and I hate that I'm saying that we're doing this. But next week, stay tuned for more draft coverage. Hint, hint, with maybe not just us. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Hopefully, if it works out, not just us. That's all I'm saying.
Now it's going to be extra bad if it is just us. They're going to be so disappointed.
I know. I hate that I do it every time, too, because I tell myself in my head I'm not going to say anything.
I think it'll work out. I think we'll be good, but we'll see.
Hopefully. But anyway, well, at least unless breaking news comes out and the Giants decide to trade for another superstar, we will not be here until next week with another podcast, but we'll see.
And you're obviously welcome, because tomorrow or today when you're listening to this, Tuesday morning, A'shaun Robinson will have just signed right when the episode releases. So, you know, congratulations to everyone for that. And hopefully that's a great move, because we all know that's going to happen as soon as this episode releases.
True.
Thank you, everyone, for listening today. Had a lot of fun creating that mock draft. Always love those. And I know everyone loves doing the interacting with the 7-round mock drafts as well. And I guess we'll see everyone next time with some more draft coverage. I'm not making those commitments that Josh just did. And we'll see you next time. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.